Back Talk is an extension of the long-running award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 3:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by me, John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests like Wayne Miller.
Yes, let's banter
my
this.
My buddy for centuries here is here, a judge from the elections.
Yes,
so is that why you've brought this movie, Let Him Go?
Yes, because it's kind of like, I think the recent voters are saying, let him go, or get rid of him, or whatever, you know, that they would like to see.
All right, this is a film with Kevin Costner and Diane Lane.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think, Let Him Go, is that part of that limerick?
Let him go. Yeah.
I'm suspecting that's what...
Well, it makes you wonder, though, too, with this title, is it like... to set up briefly the plot, it's basically Costner, retired sheriff. Diane Lane plays his wife. I think their names are George.
They're in Montana.
George and Margaret, and she breaks horses and is really quite a horse woman,
yes.
You know, somebody that you could see out on the Old West or whatever. Their son dies, leaving a widow and an infant son. And he dies in a horse riding accident, which was, I think, ironic.
You're right, their son.
And so the son's widow, several
Let
years
me interrupt
later,
because you have to remember. One of the tropes in all these Westerns, and this is a modern Western, it still has its foundation in Westerns, is when you see the horse come back riderless.
Yeah. Something's not right here.
I don't think this is good. This is not good.
Was it like... almost like locking your car keys in the car, you know, or whatever. No, it's not an accident.
And when you see a gun.
Yes.
Do you think that's coming back?
Oh, it may come back a-blazing.
All right, so they're searching for their grandson.
Yes, their son's widow, Mary, several years later, I think the little boy by this time's 5 or 6 or something like that, marries this guy who looked like a very clean-cut young man.
He does,
man,
yeah.
But
one of the wee boys.
But, you know, it's funny. I went back and looked at, or I was thinking about the one scene when they got married. You know, the young wee boy son and their former daughter-in-law.
Yes, right,
it. But anyhow, the very sterile type of loveless-looking... wedding ceremony when they got married. But anyhow, Diane Lane's character happens to see one time in town that how this guy, the wee boy, kind of manhandles her grandson and backhands his new wife, her former daughter-in-law. So anyhow, they set out on a mission. And boy, you talk about walking into the gates of Hades.
Well, you know, you were mentioning... when we were talking about this earlier, you were mentioning some of the deficiencies of the film because, you know that I like this film probably more than you do, only because I've loved Westerns. I grew up on them, and there's something about Costner and Lane that I find. But one of the things is that we don't know why she marries this guy. We have no background on why you could make a stupid decision like this.
Or backgrounds of... his family, which is probably the most interesting type of family.
The wee boy family.
Oh, the God. Because, of course, led by, talk about an actress who could chew the scenery as chew her overdone pork chops. Leslie Manfield as Blanche Wee boy.
Oh, boy.
The mom of the family. Boy, is she a pistol.
She is just badass. And were you saying, like, Ma? What was it?
Because it reminded me, there's been several movies about a true crime gang, bank robbing gang, in the 30s, Ma Barker and her boys.
Yes.
And in several of these movies, one with, I think, Angie Dickinson played her, another one with Shelley Winters, and it was an episode I remember one time on the old Untouchables TV series. But, wow, you know, and it made me, reminded me of other movies or TV shows with, like, a mother that was leader of the gang of criminals of her family. And of course, the most infamous was the most infamous episode of the X-Files, of the triple amputee mom that her sons kept in this like little rolling cart under the bed.
All right.
And she ran, and her gang of inbred, grotesquely deformed sons. And that's kind of reminded me of that, because in her own way, as she would say, and you could hear the paper and the tobacco kind of like crisping, as she would suck on these cigarettes, you know, kind of dolled up with bright red lipstick and her pompadour blonde hair or whatever.
Well, you know, it seems to me that this is the kind of thing the director, Thomas Bazooka, would have allowed.
Yes.
I mean, you can see that Manville is going way over the top.
Yes.
And almost as if you wanted to have a little bit of levity in this very heavy.
Well, which did provide levity.
Yeah.
I mean, I really liked her. And of course, one of her, I think, sons, or one review called him her brother, but I think it's her oldest son, played by Jeffrey Donovan.
Well, this director also directed one of my favorite movies of the last half year, the Guernsey Literary Society.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting, the difference between the two films?
Oh, my goodness. Nazi occupied one of the British Channel.
Guernsey.
Islands. Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice. You know, a sensitive and loving film.
Yep.
And
this one, wow.
Yeah.
Well, going back, though, to Costner, and of course, he's doing quite well in one of those cable series right now called Yellowstone, where he plays like a multi-rich, I think in Montana or somewhere.
Okay,
a character like that.
He always looks like he's born in the saddle.
Oh, God, yes. Excellent. I mean, you know, everything going back to one of his breakout roles in Silverado. But
well, hasn't he recently been, I'd say last year, Highwaymen or something?
Yeah. And
with Woody Harrelson.
Yes. And I thought really born for this role, but also Diane Lane.
Mm.
And I remember her probably one of the most successful miniseries on TV back in the late 80s, Lonesome Dove.
Oh, yeah.
That she could as a very young actress, hold her own against such heavyweights as Robert Duvall and Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's 55 now.
Yes.
And Costner's 65. Yeah.
So she was like early 20s when she made Lonesome Dove and did very, very well. But you had mentioned earlier, too, about that. And I didn't know this until I was reading some reviews, that Costner and Lane played Maul and Paul Kent in Man of Steel.
Yes.
That first in that kind of like series of Superman movies. And then, of course, Lane for the next two, like Justice League and Batman versus Superman, she reprised her role as Maul Kent. But also, one of the best things, I was reading a review in Rolling Stone, and they entitled their review, Maul and Paul Kettle Go Gothic.
Yeah, that's right. Good. Well, listen, I'm glad you threw out that term, because this is, you know, you have Southern Gothic.
Yes.
This is Western Gothic.
Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And what's Gothic about it, if there were only one scene to make it Gothic, there is a harrowing scene that my guest could barely look.
Oh, we won't get
no,
it.
I know, but it is.
I know, as we find out how really rather evil and sinister the Wee Boy gang is. But we got talking about the lack of character development.
Yes.
Which, and outside of Mother Wee Boy, and of course a little bit by excellent character actor Jeffrey Donovan as I think Bill Wee Boy, that we really don't get a real good sense of the characters of them, nor particularly Lane and Costner's daughter-in-law, who marries into this family, and there's just something's missing there. That I got so vested in this movie that I wanted to know more.
Yeah, well, you're talking about Lorna Lorna Blackledge.
Yeah.
Played by Kaylee Carter.
Yeah.
And she is really a cipher in this. I didn't get anything on her. Because one of the major parts of this film is that she takes off with the wee boy.
Yes.
She marries him, goes off, and you know, and why in the world wouldn't you? Unless there are a lot of women out there, and there may be a few out there who have married into families and didn't know what they were getting into.
Yeah. But here's exactly right. But also, it kind of outside of maybe sixth sense that Diane Lane's character had, but you only get the one kind of scene where he kind of like. You know, kind of jerks.
Well, yeah, that's an important scene.
Son,
yeah,
but also backhands his wife.
Yeah, so she sees it. She's in the car or somewhere and watching them.
Yeah.
He sees her abuse them and him abuse them.
And then they take off and they're gone.
Yeah.
So, and then that's what leads into their odyssey of going to find their grandson to bring him home. And so I don't know. Something about it. Now, it's one of those. This is adapted from a book.
Yeah, Larry Watson, I think.
Yeah, and which makes me interested in reading the book.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
you know,
going
and
back maybe to pick up some background of these characters.
Well, you know, and movies add such a dimension to something like that novel. For instance, the background scenery in this.
Yes.
Montana and North Dakota, even though it was filmed in Calgary.
Yes.
You know, who cares? It's all what you think it is.
It's
right?
All North America.
All right. But it is beautiful, and it does what it had always intrigued me about Westerns. They can distance you and your character.
Yeah.
They can diminish them in importance.
Yes.
They can set the raw scene that you have, the elemental forces working here. There's something about that landscape in a Western that has always, I've always loved. Plus, the cinematography is beautiful.
Yes.
You know, you can't go wrong.
Almost in some ways, kind of like, and you had mentioned, too, about how kind of like The Searchers.
Yes.
Where John Wayne.
Yes.
Goes to find his niece who had been abducted by the Indians that had killed his brother's family and stuff like that. So in a way, I think a lot of filmmakers dealing with the whole landscape and the whole notion, the whole theme of the West owe a big debt of gratitude to John Ford.
Boy,
because you talk about somebody who could make little tiny stage
coaches,
a whole cavalry troop seem diminished. That almost vast wasteland or whatever.
Well, I traveled by motorcycle several times to Monument Valley, which is John Ford country.
Yep.
And you're right, boy, that he captured the spirit of that. Not only the promise, but also the kind of deadly nature of that, the danger of it in those shots.
Yes, yes. But also, even though that maybe mankind is diminished in this vast landscape, but the resilience of people overcome that landscape, that hostile, in a lot of ways, landscape, I think that is what becomes important, and particularly in this movie, because they could, even though Costner's character, George, is a retired sheriff, you know, 30 years on the job, something like that.
Yes.
That he probably had seen a lot.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the things that intrigues me about the film. It's either a negative or a positive, is that you expect more from Costner because of his background as a sheriff than you're going to get. I have to let something out here. Than you're going to get.
Yeah.
You're expecting that he is going to be kicking butt all over the place, and that would be fine, and that would be in the tradition. That would be a trope, but it doesn't work out that way.
No. His wife is the one, you know, that, and isn't it interesting, because we always identify with the male heroes or male bad guys of the Old West, but here, the two strongest characters are females.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
And just, you know, them butting heads. Ranch. And yes. It's not, you know, because we always think of the wild, manly West. And but here, both for good and for evil,
yeah.
You know, the two prime characters are the two women.
And I found it interesting, even before knowing about the film, to see that Diane Lane is featured. She's top billing.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. Watching the credits, I noticed that.
Yeah.
She got top billing.
Yes.
And I noticed that too. And yeah. It really stuck out.
Which I like a lot.
I do too.
But that goes with your thesis that she's a bit understated.
Yes.
Because Costner is such a giant.
Yes.
As an actor and any role he plays, that she's going to have to step up. And apparently they felt that making her more submissive,
yes.
Though in the end being very strong, and I like that arc of the film, but still, Costner is a force to be reckoned with.
And we see, and some of their character and their relationship is kind of developed in flashbacks and stuff like that, and very low-key type of stuff. You know, because she's the one, kind of like, you know, and he's kind of more soft-spoken or a little, you know, and goes along with what she says, what she wants, and she's very outspoken. But also you get a sense of he has maybe a bit of a drinking problem, you know.
Yeah.
But everything's kind of really low-key, understated, and I think that's where some people would probably have some difficulty with this movie.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you, what'd you think about their car?
Oh, yeah. The kind of the woody station wagon.
It's a Chevy. I think it's a Chev.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually a 50. A 50s. So I was interested in the correlation between it being 1963, but actually looking definitely like the 50s.
Yeah.
And they reinforced that with that clinkety old car, that station wagon was great.
It was. And talking about characters, the one character too that I don't know, I felt maybe thrown in there, and it could be from the book. That's why going back to the source of the book and reading about it. But the young Native American guy that adds some mysticism, you know, and help, and I don't know, just something.
His character's name is Peter Dragswolf.
Yes.
Isn't that an interesting name? Yeah. And his name as an actor is Boo Boo Stewart.
Boo Boo Stewart, I know. And but I think maybe thrown in superfluous to the whole, you know, the whole film.
Well, crucial to helping her.
Oh, yes.
But initially,
but you know that. Would she need help, though? Would she have found her way, out of the problems, massive problems she had near the end, you know? But anyhow.
But yeah, but he was a character that could be developed. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But it's a film, for me, it's a film about family again.
Yes.
We have so many, even in superhero films.
Yes.
Looking to connect, bring back, frequently as children, looking for a father or mother.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's the father and mother looking for the grandchild. But again, it's always, and the West Searchers, as you mentioned, it's about family. It's so American.
Yeah. Which makes you wonder, that I kind of thought, what's the big deal of this kind of wimpy woman and her little boy in the family? I mean, why are the wee boys going to such extremes, you know, unless it's family pride and ego, keep her and to keep the boy.
Great. I speculate.
Yeah.
Is this the last of the line? In other words, are these boys just out of the marriage possibilities, the wee boys?
Yeah, because we don't know because we don't
exactly
know
there
that
you go.
Well about...
There you go.
Do they have any of these kids have lives outside of the family.
Are they
like, obviously the youngest boy that married Costner and Lane's daughter-in-law went out, had a life, or whatever.
Yeah, right, right, right. That's right.
But maybe they're so inbred that they I hadn't thought about this.
It's not their bloodline. It's not the wee boy bloodline.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's, but what's the big deal? We just don't know. You know, that, especially the good of the lengths that they did to, you know, keep them. And yeah. I think maybe some of it is more out of kind of like pride and ego.
Yes.
That, no, this is ours. We'll keep it.
Yeah, well... Wayne Miller, the film is.
Yep.
Let Him Go.
Yep.
Now, can you let a grade go here?
Yep, I'm giving it a B.
All right, good. Yeah, yep. And I think I said I'm giving it an A minus, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
And what you said earlier, you did like. I liked it, but I. You liked it more.
Oh yeah, and I think
I was looking for a little bit.
You're applying critical eyes to it, and you found a whole bunch of holes. And I'm attached to my romantic youth, which I grew up with westerns, and I loved the cinematography.
Yep.
I loved the way they used it for developing character and theme.
Yep, and a great western couple, Maul and Paul.
Back Talk is produced by me, John DeSando. Listen to shows on the podcast experience at wcbe.org.